turn up, and not just turn up physically, turn up emotionally and with intent.
The one thing I love. Lessons for life.
Welcome to the One Thing I Learned podcast, where every episode I'm asking people that inspire me and who bring huge optimism into the world what the one lesson they would pass on to their younger self or to the next generation or to us as the listeners. This episode, I'm talking with Lachlan Munro. Lackey, as I know him. We got to know each other on the Spitfire Round the World expedition that we were on together in 2019. We've remained great friends ever since. He's run incredible businesses in security. He's worked in the military. He project managed the Silver Spitfire project. He's lived an extraordinary life. He has got more stories than you can poke a stick at. And I can't wait to hear the lesson he wants to pass on.
So in my instance, I guess, you know, I feel blessed that I've had a life so far that I am very pleased with. It's been true to the values that I've had since I was young in terms of wanting to place value on relationships, friendships, and to have a professional life that's impactful, full of adventure and full of fun. So what would I pass on? What do I think out of all of that that's been something that has enabled me to have and enjoy my life so far? Well, I think really for me, it's about turning up. It's an adaptation really of a Woody Allen quote that he made back in the 70s, which was the 70% of success in life is turning up. It caught my eye because it also resonated with my mother's shrill voice that still rings in my ears today, which was nothing ventured, nothing gained. You know, something that she always used to say as we were getting dragged off to, you know, a barn dance, which, you know, kicking and screaming. And, you know, I really value that. And when I saw Woody Allen's quote, it really resonated. And so for me, that's also been a bit of a handrail for me. And so I guess from my perspective, what I'm saying is a bit of an adaptation on that, which is turn up. And what do I really mean by that? Well, there's the physical sense of turning up, which is obviously quite simplistic in its form, and that speaks to resisting the inertia and the 100 reasons why not to do something. There are many occasions when you get invited to something or the opportunity to go to something and you resist that and decide not to do it. On the flip side, all of us will have heard on many occasions many people say, "I was so pleased I went to that," or "I was so pleased I did that." So there's a physical aspect of turning up, but of course then there's the other element, which is, I suppose, sort of speaks to the existentialist perspective of, well, what do you do when you turn up? And, you know, that is about using that opportunity to try and connect with other people and by being authentic and intentionalist. So when you're there, open yourself up, be the best person you can be where you've turned up at, and you'll be amazed that when you connect with people, how that suddenly can open up opportunities and create interesting opportunities for you. I think, you know, why I really value that piece of advice is actually something I have used a lot, because I didn't, I've always been a bit of a non-conformist, even, you know, going back to school days. I've often resisted being corralled or been expected to follow a particular path. I don't have a sort of classical education in terms of school, university, you know, blue chip organisation. You know, I've sort of followed my own path from an early age. You know, I left school and I decided I wanted to join the army rather than go to university. So I went off to Sandhurst, and, you know, even from then I did that off my own volition, and you know, turned up at the you know, at the army recruitment office to see how that would all work. And, you know, by doing that, that opened up so many different doors for me. I've gone on, you know, since I left the army, I've had a varied and very fulfilling professional career, mainly revolving around the security and risk management industry. I am privileged to be leading a company that is working to help alleviate some of the world's global threats from an international development perspective. So I'm sort of midway, like I said earlier, slightly tongue-in-cheek, I feel like I'm midway through my life. I've just turned 50. I've got a wonderful family with three children, and you know, feel that there's still an awful lot to be had.
With your kids, like how, you know, your girls, you know, how are you sort of trying to pass that lesson?
Yeah, so I guess I've adopted the shrill, my mother's shrill voice of nothing ventured, nothing gained. I, you know, I just actively encourage them to, you know, to go to things, and I'm a real hard taskmaster when it comes to, if somebody in the family says, one of my children says, no, I'm not going to do that, or I don't want to go, then it's very unusual that they'll get that past me. They normally will go, and honestly, 9 times out of 10 they'll come back saying that was fantastic, I really enjoyed it, and they've forgotten all about the tantrums beforehand. And I think honestly that is a that is something that will continue through life, and it does continue through life, is instead of the tantrums, it's now, as we get older, it tends to be inertia. But once that's, you know, you get overcome that, that's when we get the, I'm so pleased I went to that expression.
Yeah, why do you think that is? Do you think there's a part of, because I guess by turning up, the easy thing is not to go to those things because it's slightly out of your comfort zone.
It's just out of your day to day. There are 100, don't forget, and also, you know, we're, you know, the natural default setting is tends to be sort of inertia related, or giving reasons why you're not going to do something. You're always presented with reasons not to do something, and you're tired, it's outside of your normal routine, but there's a reason, in my mind, there's a reason why these things are, that they come into your sphere, and I really value actually engaging with them and seeing what opportunity falls out of it. Of course, being realistic, there's not an opportunity falls out of every single thing, but normally there's always something from turning up, whether it's meeting someone, whether it's an idea that forms, a better understanding of something that you didn't know before. And that's my point about the existentialist element of turning up, which is, if you're going to bother physically turning up, then follow it through by turning up, you know, emotionally as well, and be present, and present the best version of yourself in that situation. Because if you're radiating out authenticity and, you know, intentionalism, then it's amazing how you can influence people's view of you in a positive way.
Yeah, which might, you know, might come back to, you know, you might be helping other people, give them energy.
Definitely, but also, you know, if you're connecting with people, you know, if you're open to connect, and I mean by that, if you're, you know, emotionally present, and you have that intentionalist component to you, that you're there for a reason, that you want to engage, if you're radiating out with people, it makes it so much easier for people to connect with you. And when you connect with somebody, of course, it opens up all sorts of possibilities, whether that's from a personal perspective, you know, if you're seeking, you know, a relationship or something like that, and also professionally and other personal endeavours. I mean, if you're connecting with people, then things happen. If you're not connecting and you're not really present, and of course it is difficult to be present these days because there are so many different distractions, whether it's phones or families or people trying to get hold of you, and you can end up, you know, not being totally present. And I think if you can resist that and be in the moment and connect, particularly connect with people, you'll find, well, I've certainly found that things open up and you start making your own luck rather than expecting things to happen for you.
Yeah, because people can pick up on that. You know, people respect that, you know.
Well, people talk about, or you hear people talk about authenticity, for example, and, you know, it's all very well saying words like being authentic, but it's understanding what happens when you are authentic, or why should you be authentic. And for me, being authentic and being emotionally open when you're present and when you've turned up, what it does, it allows you to connect with people, and it gives off positive energy, and it radiates, and that radiation is embraced by people that you're talking to. And when that happens and you connect with somebody, for me, that's when opportunities start presenting themselves.
Was there ever a time you were sort of disappointed where you said, you've employed a lot of people over the years, or you've worked with lots of different people, where people didn't turn up and you were going, you know what, that really stuck in your craw?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's there's probably lots of examples. I mean, I haven't dwelled on, you know, or taken umbrage with particular instances, but we all know when you reflect, we all place a low value on people that don't turn up.
Was there a time where you didn't, and you really, like, you know, you always try to, but maybe you didn't, and you were always disappointed?
Yeah, there's a particular instance, you know, where there's a funeral I wanted to go to, and I should have been at it, but I couldn't get there, and that's always stuck with me. And you know, I don't like the fact that I didn't turn up, and that I couldn't turn up, but I don't like the fact that I wasn't there, and it still sticks with me to this day. One of the things I often say to my children as well is, turning up, of course, isn't just about what you're getting out of it, it's about what the other person's getting out of it. So as a children's party, for example, when one of my daughters says, I don't want to go to so-and-so's birthday party, it's, well, how do you think that's going to make the person whose birthday it is feel that you're not coming to their party? Have you thought about how they feel rather than just how you feel? You might not think you're going to get something out of you turning up, but actually somebody else really might, and your turning up might make the difference between somebody being happy or not happy, and that for me is a massively important consideration as well.
And have you got any other stories of things where you've turned up and something's happened because of it?
One anecdote, I guess, or one situation where turning up really made a dramatic impact on my life was, you know, I was seeking an opportunity professionally. I really wanted to work for Kroll, which is a terrific company. It's a world leading risk management consultancy, and incredibly difficult to get into. I made some inquiries as to how I might apply, and was told on, you know, every occasion it's impossible. And I remember meeting somebody at a wedding not long after I was trying to make this application, who said that their brother worked at Kroll, and I said, oh, fantastic, I'm going to come and you know, I want to come and meet him. And he was like, well, Why don't you just rock up on Monday and see, you know, at the end of the day, and see if you can go for a drink. And so I did. I rocked up, and I just turned up. And it turns out that he was also in the army, and he happened to also be in the same regiment as me. And it also turned out that he was really keen to go for a beer. And from that moment, it set the whole direction for the next 10 to 15 years of my professional career, and brought me tremendous adventure and enjoyment, and really all boils down to just turning up on a Wednesday afternoon, I think it was.
Yeah, but before you went, were you sort of, was there a part of you going, I don't know anyone, it's going to be super embarrassing, or, you know, whatever?
Yeah, for sure. There was the usual, you know, voices and the usual, you know, internal barriers being put up to say, why are you doing that? That's not going to, you know, that's not the right way to apply for a blue chip company like this. This is, you know, and every other reason. And
how serendipitous that he was, you know, that's the thing where you say you put it out there, sort of, I don't know, there is something, isn't there? Like life whispers to you a little bit, and these little opportunities.
I just, you know, if you want to get too, you know, philosophical about it, where you look at, you know, the theory of coincidence, which is, you know, which is an interest of mine, and, you know, why did life whisper at me at that moment? And when you get a whisper, what are you doing about it? So for me, what it all boils down to is you have to make your own luck, and I've had to make my own luck and make my own opportunities, because I didn't, as I say, I didn't go through sort of classical education or follow a classical professional career path. I've chosen instead to make my own path based on my own values. But of course, if I sit at home waiting, the phone isn't ringing. So I've got to create things, and I've got to turn up when the opportunities, you know, if a snippet of an opportunity shows itself, I turn up. And it served me really well.
Yeah, I think I saw a clip online of Tarantino talking, and it's one of the reasons I started making my short film, because he says basically he was sat there in Loser Town, not making any films. He said, no one's going to come and do it for you. No one is coming. You have to go just make your own. You've got to get out of Loser Town and go make stuff happen for yourself and for other people. So if you're helping other people, you know, it's not all about, you know, selfish reasons, but you've got to go and, you know, start making things, and then things come to you.
Yeah, I think, you know, just thinking while I'm thinking as well, you know, other instances about turning up. When I was working in my early elements of my career at Kroll, there was an opportunity, which sounds crazy when you think about it, but it was the end of the second Gulf War, and there was opportunities for businesses to go in and help with the reconstruction effort post-conflict. An opportunity presented itself to go to Iraq, but it was pretty much the day the war had officially ended, but it was fraught with danger. And there's a moment there where you can say yes or no, and I stuck my hand up and off I went, and I turned up at the airport in Jordan with $1,000 in my pocket, looking to find somebody who would drive me across the desert on my own into Baghdad to look for some business opportunities. And, you know, that's an extreme version of turning up. But for me, you know, there's an opportunity there. I saw the opportunity and honestly resisted a lot of voices, not just mine at that point, to say don't go and don't be so stupid. But, you know, I saw it as an opportunity, and that decision contributed to, you know, a large degree of success in my career so far.
I remember a story, you might not want to talk about this, but let's record it anyway, and then you can decide later. But, you know, you told me a story that was extraordinary for me. You know, I'm a real wuss when it gets into, you know, when I've got cameras in places you're not allowed cameras. But hearing some of your stories in the security world, and one in particular, where there was a bit of a shakedown on a corrupt bureaucrat trying to extort money from you and your business team, and you had to make a sharp exit. And I remember, well, you tell the story, but that was one of the most extreme examples of turning up I've ever heard of.
So this is an example of turning up really for the benefit of somebody else, definitely not for my own benefit. And it feels a little immodest talking about it, to be honest, but you know, there were reasons why I wanted to do it. And this was in Ethiopia, actually, and a few years ago now, but there were some spurious claims made to try and extort money from the business. And, you know, as a director and with my co-director at the time, we were in Ethiopia looking at some potential business opportunities. And as we left the country, my co-director was detained at customs, and I was allowed to go through and headed off and ended up took the flight home. He was stuck there along with three or four other people effectively under house arrest, with, you know, a huge financial spurious made up claim against them. And, you know, it wasn't going away, and it started getting, you know, elevating as, you know, week one went by, and then week two, it was getting, you know, more and more pressure, and the Ethiopian government was starting to apply more pressure by insinuating or bringing criminal claims, which of course brings detention, multi-year jail time in Ethiopia. And of course the people detained were getting more and more concerned and distressed. And, you know, some of the individuals were former military veterans from the UK. My co-director was getting, obviously was getting, distressed on his own as well. And I just thought it was the right thing to turn up back in Ethiopia and to be there with those guys, to share the burden and to try and find a way collectively to get out of the situation. And, you know, that was a very difficult decision to turn up, because I had to go say to my wife, I'm effectively going into Ethiopia to surrender my passport and to sit under house arrest for the benefit of some other people. She gave me her blessing, and yeah, I went in, and, you know, we shared some, you know, reasonably distressed situation for a while, of course, and eventually, thankfully, the situation did resolve itself.
But because you turned up,
Did that help the situation? And were your co-directors, was your co-director grateful? You know?
Well, it helped 100%. I mean, you know, of course, safety in numbers is a really real thing, and I think particularly for the guys who weren't necessarily privy to all of the information, who were fearing the worst and were expecting the worst, for me to come back in, I think showed, you know, to them that there was a real prospect of this sorting itself out in a positive way. Of course, they didn't know that the reality was that it was going completely the other way, but just by reappearing and coming back gave them confidence that there was a high degree of hope that this wasn't as serious as it first looked to them, and they were able to relay that onto their families, and of course it brought, you know,
the chain reaction of confidence, you know, ripple through on both sides, and also the fact that you've gone back in voluntarily, surrendered your passport.
Yeah, totally. And you know, that is also the turning up aspect which impacts other people that I've talked about.
Yeah, amazing. Well, you're braver than I am. Pressure sort of reveals character, doesn't it? You know, it's like peeling back onions. You know, it's sort of those characters are always there, and it's only when it's easy to have good character when there's no pressure.
Yeah.
But the minute you apply pressure, that's when you see true character come through.
Yeah, definitely. And of course, you know, when you really examine your values, you know, loyalty to me is number one, and being loyal to people that you're working with, you know, to your family, it's a real thing, and for me it is anyway. And of course, there were a few occasions over life where you're presented with an opportunity to be loyal or not, and this was one of those, and I wanted to do that.
How long were you there? I mean,
6 weeks.
Your wife must have been pretty nervous.
Yeah, 6 weeks. She was nervous. I was getting more and more nervous. But you know, you have to. I was, you know, listening to something not long ago where they were talking about one of the great traits of leadership, and talking about temperament. And I have to say, you know, I really respect that and value that. And actually, in that moment in time, you know, I was the director, and there were a team of people, and portraying a temperament of this will sort itself out, don't worry, we're going through a process, it will all be fine, was never more important than in that situation, in terms of, you know, not allowing your own feelings of distress coming or panic coming to the surface, and to be able to, you know, portray, you know, a temperament of you know, outwardly calm persona. You know, never a better example.
The one thing I learned: one guest, one story, one lesson every week. Kind of lesson that stays with you. Not advice, not noise, just something true. Something gathered on the way. Something worth passing on. Listen on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. And at theonethingilearned.com. Produced by Amelia Clement. Music by Benjamin Hallway, from Stamp Productions.